Well, good morning. And isn't it gorgeous out? I love this kind of weather. Don and I, we've got the electric blanket so we can keep it cold in the house. You can open up windows and cool down and get up in the morning and it's just brisk and sharp. It's just beautiful, beautiful time of the year. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. If you want to turn with me and or look up on the screen, should have that there pretty quick. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the rightness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. Man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your hearts, who will ascend into heaven, that is, bring Christ down, or who will ascend to the or descend to the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. We are proclaiming that if we confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how could they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your truth is eternal. And we thank you, Lord, that you don't just leave us on our own, but you send the Holy Spirit to minister and guide us, to illuminate these scriptures for us. Father, we ask right now that you would guide and direct me as I preach your word this morning, or that I would speak your truth and your heart for your people here today, so that each one would be encouraged and strengthened. Lord, I ask that as I preach, it would be your name which is lifted up. Father, bless your people this day. We ask this through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, it is fall. And it's one of my favorite times of the year. There's a traditional Peanuts special which is played this time of year. Anybody know which one it is? It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Yeah. And in the Great Pumpkin, in that episode, we can see Charles Schulz was a strong Christian, and he's showing something in this one. We have Linus, who has great sincerity, and talking about how he's going to go and find the best pumpkin patch, the best pumpkin, the best pumpkin patch everywhere. And if he is sincere, the great pumpkin will rise and bring toys and whatnot. But it never happens. The great pumpkin just doesn't come. No matter how sincere Linus is, no matter how beautiful his pumpkin or pumpkin patch, it just doesn't happen. And we see that here. That zeal and sincerity are not enough. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for the Israelites, that they might be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Linus's zeal, his sincerity for the great pumpkin, wasn't based on knowledge. Correct knowledge, truth, what's right. A lot of us know things that are wrong. That's not real knowledge. Don't get distracted with it. Here we have laid out for us. Just being excited about God isn't enough. No matter how excited I can be, how zealous, if my knowledge is wrong, that is who I'm saying God is, I'm missing the mark. What we have here is that Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Who believes and confesses. See, Christ is there. He ends the law, and He brings with it His righteousness to cover over our unrighteousness. And it's there for those who believe. And remember, believing just isn't this intellectual contest where even though I know the truth, and I know with all my mind to be true, that's not enough either. Because the demons know that. They know that Jesus is indeed the Christ and that He is Lord. But they haven't received it to their heart. They haven't submitted to Him. They still run in rebellion. They still won't take it. So we see that zeal isn't enough. We see that knowledge isn't enough. We have to put the two together. We have to have a heart that's for God. We have to have a head and a knowledge of who God is. He's the one who came on the cross for all people, no matter what group they are. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. But first, what do we have to do? We must confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not, you might be saved, you could be saved. There's a 99.8% chance you'll be saved. It's, you will be. It's a done deal. However, to complete the deal, it requires that these two parts come together as one. Knowledge and heart. We have to know it, and we have to feel it or believe it. Receive it, however you want to phrase it, but it has to be in both our head and our heart. One of the two isn't good enough. Neither one gets us there. We have to have both. We have to know who Jesus is. And we have to believe it. And we have to confess it. We're told it's not enough to just believe, because if you really believe with your heart, you have to confess it, don't you? Haven't you ever felt the need that you just had to tell somebody about Jesus? Somebody, at least, that you accepted Him as such? He's my Lord and Savior. It's the first thing that happens with somebody when they first come to know Christ. They get excited, they got to tell somebody, they have to confess their faith in Christ. It's intrinsic to salvation. This thing in the head, this thing in the heart, this thing that comes out of our mouth, they're one. They have to all be together. Individually, I can say, yeah, but it really doesn't matter. A gentleman by the name of George Whitfield, anybody ever hear him? A few of you have. Well, he said a lot of good things, written some good books. One thing that he mentioned one time, he said, there are many who go in a round of duties, a model of performances, that think they shall go to heaven. But if you examine them, though they have Christ in their heads, they have no Christ in their hearts. Here you've got people who walk around speaking Christ, but they haven't put Christ in their heart. We see that in Matthew chapter 7. We have here the people who are running around, we did this in your name, Lord. We did that in your name, Lord. And Jesus said, away from me. I never knew you. Why? Because they knew Christ in their head, and they were saying Christ with their mouth, but they never had Him in His heart, in their heart. Add all three is what's required. Sorry. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. So we have this. This is the gospel message. The word of faith that we're proclaiming. This is what it is. But it's not supposed to just sit. Because it is supposed to be proclaimed. But how then can they be? Can they call on the one whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? That's the question. You have this chain that has to happen. Those who haven't heard, how can they call on Christ's name? And how can they believe so that they can call unless they've heard? And how can they hear unless somebody has preached? And how can somebody preach unless they're sent? We had missions conference last week. And I didn't preach missions the 3 or 4 weeks before that. That's what this is. This is missions. It's God's mission that all people should come to know Him. Now, He's given us free will, so not everybody does. But He has given us, the church, the mission of taking the Word to everybody. Emil Brunner, some of you might have heard him, I don't know. But he said that church exists by mission as fire exists by burning. That one just hit me. We had that bonfire Sunday. We kept feeding it. Had to give it stuff to burn. And we had a nice fire. Some people want to put more stuff in it, get even nicer fire. They wanted to be able to have, well, one circle of chairs for everybody. I think they wanted that fire about 6 feet high. And But fire exists by burning. The church exists by missions. Without missions, the church dies. We can't have our holy huddle, just us, and just say, come here and stand around the fire and sing Kumbaya. And Phyllis's brother-in-law was there, and he couldn't help himself. Kumbaya. But that's how we feel sometimes. We need to have some of that fellowship and that loving on each other and just caring for each other. But that's just kind of goes with it. It's not its purpose. It's kind of something that comes with the whole purpose of the burning. You know, roasted marshmallows are nice. But that's not what feeds the fire. We had to put more wood in the fire. Well, coming up, sitting around and giving each other hugs and just fellowshipping with one another is nice. But it's not what feeds the church. It's missions. It's going out to places like ISI and just getting to know people and sharing the love of God. One-on-one. It's praying for our missionaries. When we send missionaries, we just don't release them like some creature into the wild, say, you know, they have these breeding programs where they breed different endangered species and they raise them up and they treat them different than they do the regular animals in the zoo. They try not to have any as little human contact as possible and try to keep them wild and make them wild. Poke them with a stick, I don't know. So they don't trust people. And then they take them out and they try to teach them how to catch food and then they release them out in the wild. And most of them die. But they keep trying because a couple of them live and maybe they'll increase the wild population. Now, that's not what we're supposed to do with a missionary. We're not supposed to treat them special and poke them with a stick so that they'll go away and go out and go and take the gospel someplace else. No, when we send them, we're supposed to, in a sense, go with them. They're not sent off alone. But we go with them with our prayer and support, whatever ways we can. We can go up with them side by side, short-term trips in the mission field. Some of us are able to do those types of things. Sometimes we can communicate with them through different means. You've got the internet and mail and all these things where you can just encourage them. You can give financially as the Lord provides. See, we've each one been called to missions. This is a call to missions. This is what it is. The word is near you. It is in your mouth. And in your heart. And that is the word of faith we are proclaiming. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's those who are out there preaching the word. Now you can do it personally here in our Judea, in our Jerusalem, and even a little bit to Samaria, but to the ends of the earth part where you need some help. That's what we have the missionaries for. And when we're sending these people, we're going with. When you go, we're sending you and we're going with you. So you're not by yourself. Even if you're only going over here to Shingle Creek and going to play with scraps of fabric. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you have beautiful feet? Do you want beautiful feet? You're supposed to have them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've called each of us to be part of missions. That you've given us your word of hope and grace and shown us that it's for everybody. You've shown us that there's only one way, through Christ. You've shown us, Lord. And you said that we wouldn't be alone, that you would go with us. That you would send us. And that we are to come alongside and send one another. So Lord, help us to be faithful in that. And might we go and bring the good news. Might we indeed, each one, Lord, have beautiful feet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close as we sing the doxology. Let's all stand.